Good morning, everyone. It's 8:30, and welcome to bonus session number 2, 25 Ways to Increase Mass Attendance with Dr. Lois Losey. My name is Megan Wright. I'm the Executive Director of Stewardship and Development for the Office of Mission Advancement in the Diocese of St. Petersburg. And just like with all of our sessions, we're going to open today with our conference prayer. That's on page 3 of your manual if you've been going old school like me, or you can get it on your app as well. So let's get started in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Loving and gracious God, we ask you to open our hearts to your Son's life and ministry and to answer the call to be his disciples. May our response be rooted in the gospel. May we be ever mindful of the needs of our communities, and may our stewardship flow from a profound sense of gratitude for your many blessings. By the gift of the Holy Spirit, empower and inspire us to respond in a way that brings hope to others and reveals the love that comes to us through Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name, who is Lord forever and ever. Amen. All right. For those who have just come in, welcome. It is my pleasure to introduce our speaker. Dr. Losey is the Chancellor for Administration and Chief Operating Officer for the Diocese of St. Petersburg. So I get the privilege of working with this amazing professional. She coordinated our efforts during the Synod, and she's continuing to work with the North American Intercontinental Delegation to the Universal Synod. Dr. Losey also is a professor with Villanova Business School Center for Church Management. She teaches stewardship and development, which is the area where I work. So I have the opportunity to work with one of the masters, quite literally. She has her certificates, both her master's degree and running the certificate program for church management with Villanova, which is amazing. She started our network for business managers in our diocese, which continues to serve and bring together leaders of our diocese to make sure we achieve levels of excellence in each of our parishes. Her journey began in stewardship, though, with the unveiling of the USCCB's pastoral letter on stewardship. And she's been working in stewardship ever since across our country. In each of her roles as pastoral associate, in which she served in this capacity in several dioceses, she's worked in the state of Florida, Washington. She helped develop a holistic vision of year-round stewardship in those areas. She has received various awards from ICSC, including receiving the award that Tom Lilly was awarded with this year. She won it last year in Orlando, Florida. So it is my pleasure to introduce my chancellor, Dr. Lois Losey.
Well, thank you, and thanks for being here. And on the last day, you know, I'm sure you could have slept in, but we've got some important work to do. And one of the Michael Murphy had asked me to start the transition to next year. And so what better way than to talk about the Jubilee year? When I think about Jubilee years, I think about Ecclesiastes. You know, that the one that says, that begins, there's an appointed time for everything, a time for every affair under the heavens, a time to to give birth, to a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to uproot the plant. And the author goes on more and says, God has made everything appropriate to its time, but has put the timeless into their hearts or our hearts so that they cannot find out from beginning to end the work which God has done. And I recognize that there is nothing better than to rejoice and to do well during life. And I think about, that's the one of the things that we need to think about the Jubilee year, is it's a time where we need to kind of step back and basically take the long view and see what we could do and then do it well. Now, when I was starting to talk about this to others, I got a lot of questions. Well, what's a Jubilee year? And all this stuff. And I realized I was speaking insider Catholic baseball. And so for those who are on my baseball team, please bear with me while I'm going to just kind of give you some concepts of what we're going to be talking about. So Jubilee normally is used to refer to a celebration of a particular anniversary, right? You know, you have, my husband and I celebrated our 25th Jubilee a couple years ago. In the Hebrew Bible, the Jubilee year is either every 50th year, and then you've also heard of something like a Sabbath year, which was every seventh, which they would not plant during those years. The Roman Catholic Church, the Jubilee year is a special year of grace that's either instituted every 50 years or every 25 years. Now, if you remember, and this is one of the questions somebody had for me is, but I just thought 2016 was a Jubilee year. And that's right, because that was an extraordinary Jubilee year of 2016. The year of mercy. And I guess folks can do that. They could call extraordinary years of Jubilee. But this is the regular one. And Pope Francis has declared it. Now, the last traditional Jubilee year was in 2000. And that theme was Christ. Yesterday, today, forever. And you may remember we were really big on holy doors. This was one where at the parish that I was working at. Jubilee years often center around penance, forgiveness, mercy, and pilgrimage. And the first, here's a little trivia. The first official Jubilee year was when? When do you think it was? How many think it was in 133 AD? Okay, no. No. How about, okay, I was thinking it was 100 years after, you know, Christ resigned. No, actually, it was in 1300. It was instituted by Pope Boniface VIII, although there was a record that in 1216, St. Francis asked the Pope to grant mercy for everybody who made a pilgrimage to the Porzinacola, which is that little chapel near Assisi, if they did the pilgrimage in 2 days in August of 2016. So that was kind of really neat. But then since then, it's been about every either 50 or 25 years. Traditionally, it begins on 2 days... it happens usually 2 days before Christmas and ends on the Epiphany. And the Pope inaugurates the Holy Year with the rite of the opening of the Holy Door of St. Peter's Basilica. In this year, there's going to be four Holy Doors, and it's in all the basilicas in Rome. And also, the Jubilee Year begins with a papal bull. Now, this was another insider Catholic baseball term because most people think, oh, he has an animal. No. No, it's just means it's an announcement or a proclamation from the Pope. And that Jubilee years, again, are just a time to, we're going to step back. We're going to just take root and be pilgrims. And that is what our Pope is asking us to do. He's actually asking us to this next year to center on three things: evangelization, reconciliation, and works of mercy. And since they are often marked by pilgrimage, so the Pope is going to ask us to be pilgrims of hope and to all those that we encounter, bringing Christ to those we meet. That's evangelization. And inviting them into a relationship with Christ to encounter Christ's mercy through the sacrament of reconciliation or penance, and to perform compassionate mercy on others, revealing Christ's love and hope. So that's the 30 things. He wants us to help people encounter Christ through us, invite them to encounter Christ's mercy, through the sacrament of reconciliation, and then to perform compassionate works of mercy. So, what I want to share today is how this all relates. I'm going to share with you 25 ways in which we could use the Jubilee year to bring people closer to Christ, through going to Mass and other sacramental events, as well as other engaging or what we call bridge-building events. Now, bridge-building events are relationship-building events that are designed to draw people from your community. So not just necessarily your parish, but I would call your whole mission field, into relationship with the people in from your church. They could be conducted outside the church walls, or they could be on your property. But at least one bridge-building event should happen on your campus. And the idea here is that if somebody is, you invite them to something. So I used to always think, we used to have a big festival where my last place of work. We used to get 100,000 people come. That was a bridge-building event because they weren't all at church. But when something happened in their lives and they were ready to go to church, they would think, ah, I've been to St. Mary Magdalene before. You know, I've been on that campus. Maybe they might have something that I could do. So that's kind of like that bridge that could help me. So, and it's a way for parishes to actually help find the lost sheep. So actually in the church growth world, they usually say that churches or parishes should have at least 3 bridge building events a year. And one of those being on your campus, if not all 3. And one of the things about when you're doing these things, just don't do it as busy work. Pray over it, implement it, and see what its higher purpose is. And then when you have it, you need to make sure that when you have those people, you have a way to follow up so that you can constantly invite them. So I'm going to share with you, I'm going to start with our first thing that we're going to talk about. And even though what I'm going to share with you is not exactly part of the Jubilee year, it would be a shame to miss it. And that is Christmas, right? Not taking Christmas as an opportunity to bring people to church or to invite them. And I can tell you this, I've been there where it was just a regular Mass with 8,000 of your closest friends. And then those 8,000 people were never asked to come back. Or it was even worse, sometimes there would be snarky messages that said, see you next year, you know. You know, it's, and, you know, I can understand when the 25th is like on, you know, a Saturday or something so that there's not another week. But what they were really trying to say is, you know, you're a Christmas or an Easter Catholic. But, so what I say is, if you want to know, want people to come, give them a sign. And I'm telling you, a literal sign. Plant that around. Think about it. If you do a festival, and we do festivals in St. Petersburg, you could go down Highway 19 and see all sorts of big signs telling us what time, what date of all those festivals. What if we did the exact same thing and put that up for Christmas or Easter? So that when people are going around, you know, putting it in the buses, that if you have buses, you know, putting it on the roadside or on the lampposts. It's kind of something simple, but people just assume that, oftentimes when we're in the weeds here, we assume everybody knows what time Christmas Mass is, you know, and, not even sometimes websites aren't even up to date. So the next thing that I want to share with you, these are billboards. We actually last year put up billboards throughout the Diocese of St. Petersburg, all 5 counties. And our purpose there was to invite people to Mass. And it was something very simple. And because this was the 800th anniversary of the Nativity set, we decided to make the theme more about the Nativity. And it was really neat because we ended up, we tried to measure it in a couple of different ways. We got feedback from parishes telling us, all right, tell us what you had last year. You know, what did you have this year? Did you see an increase? But what was really neat is when people would tell you that they, you know, saw it or they stopped and got off the thing just so they could look at it. Those were those, you know, real good Catholics. But it's something simple that would be far away that could be going, because you see that all the time. Then we took them and we put them on social media. Very simple, but got it there. Now, these we would, in social media, we would then probably put in the comments where the church times are. Even though there was a way to go to it on a website, we would, we want to make it as easy as possible. So that's kind of what we did. Okay. Now, as I told you, I had a pastor who he just didn't feel comfortable to say, you know, I really want you to come back. I don't know why. It was just a little struggle for him. So we came up with another thing for him to help alleviate that, is we did a welcome video. The other thing that was really good about this is that in our church, people would come between anywhere from a half hour to an hour and a half early to get a seat. You have a captive audience because they're not leaving their seat. So a couple of things we did is we made sure that the worship, instead of having a bulletin, we made a worship aid and got it out in front. And then we included in that worship aid all the things that they could participate in the next, you know, 6 weeks. And it was probably one of the most read things that day. But we also did a welcome video. Now, one of the things, if you notice in the gospel readings, some of the gospel readings have the nativity story. Some of them, like Matthew's lineage one, does not. Not enough for people to remember the story. For the regular Catholic, that doesn't really matter. They know the story. But for some people who are coming for the first time because their mom is dragging them or something, or they haven't remembered, they don't know the real story. And so we try to tell them it. So I wanted to show you, that's what, in our video, we took a little time to do just that. And so I want to share that with you. Let's see. All right. Let's see.
Every year at this time, we jump into the middle of a story that's been told for hundreds of years. It's a story of cities decorating their streets and their sidewalks. It's a story of trees and ornaments and fireplaces, of gifts and wrapping paper and ribbons. There's expectation and wonder and hope, a deep hope that drives us back to the beginning of the story. Because it all starts here. It starts in a manger with a baby and an angel and a scared teenaged girl in love with a misunderstood young man who thinks she's worth it. It's about a child who will bring light into darkness, joy into despair, revealing a God who will redeem it all. A God who is leaving the glory of heaven to pursue the glory of a cross. A God who is becoming flesh and blood and skin. A God who is loving and offering all people a pathway back into the relationship for which they were created. It's too rich to comprehend and too beautiful to dismiss. This is Christmas. This is the story of stories. And it all starts here.
It all starts here. It all starts today. Welcome. I'm Father Charlie Mitchell, pastor of St. Mary Magdalene Parish. This is a joyous time in celebrating the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ, who took on flesh, desiring a relationship with you and me. Jesus' presence is constant, and through his Holy Spirit, he draws near to those who draw near to him. As we approach this new year, I invite you to delve deeper into the story of stories, deep into your faith and relationship with Jesus. I invite you to join us as together we work on being intentional disciples of the Christ child. What does an intentional disciple mean? Well, it means to be inspired. Please make it to Mass each Sunday. Throughout the year, we offer a variety of message series during our weekend Masses designed to address relevant issues impacting your life. If you already go each week, step it up and consider going every day. It means embracing your faith, growing yours and your family's faith by joining a small group or Bible study or a family retreat or parish mission and making sure your children are actively participating in our religious education program, youth ministry, or at our award-winning school. It means living in gratitude by sharing your time and talent in service to others. This year, we will offer family and individual service projects that bring us one-on-one with the poor and the most vulnerable. And finally, it means witnessing to Jesus Christ. I want to thank all of you for your generosity this past year in supporting the parish financially through sacrificial giving. It's inspiring to see everyone coming together to sacrificially support the work of God. If you are able, before year end, please consider completing your sacrificial giving commitment made a year ago and help us get over the top for the year. Any gift from anyone, no matter how small, will help. It all starts here. It all starts today. Over the many weeks of this holy season, we want to continue to give you Christmas each Sunday with little gifts that remind you that this is a season too mysterious to comprehend and too important to dismiss. Merry Christmas to you all, and God bless you.
So one of the things you may have noticed is that when he introduced himself, he actually identified himself as a pastor. If you've ever actually gone to Mass to another parish and they don't do that, you don't know who they are. So that's one of the reasons we kind of did that. And then if you noticed, he also gave us a challenge. And what we were able to measure that, again, because we started having things and seeing who's new to come about. So, and one of the things to follow up with that is, with the Jubilee year, and what we do is at the beginning of the year, we'd ask people to take a step in their Mass attendance. And so we said that if they don't go regularly, to start going regularly. If they are on a somewhat regular basis, start going every week. If they go every week, go daily. If they go daily, go to Eucharistic Adoration. And if they go to Eucharistic Adoration, take a step with spiritual direction. And we ask them to engage themselves with their families, as you notice, in small, and themselves to better get deeper into their faith life with small groups and religious ed and youth ministry. And to offer it all as a gift from God. And, I have New Year's resolution and Epiphany gift because I would run into some priests who say, I don't believe in New Year's resolutions. Because they fail. So then we say, all right, why don't you call it an epiphany gift to the child Jesus? And then you can't fail that way if you're going to give it as a gift. And then I also would say is, because of that failure thing, is that it's not just up to them to do it. They need the support of the parish to encourage them and ask them how they're doing with this, with their gift or their resolution. And if they've fallen behind, tell them to begin again, and it's all right. And we used to do that through a weekly email. We used flak notes, and we would tell them every, I would do it, or we would be sent out at 9 a.m. on Saturday. And the reason why, and we had a big debate why that time? Well, we wanted them before they made their plans for the weekend. But if we did it on Thursday and Friday, they'd forget about it on Saturday and Sunday. And we would tell them, kind of not giving everything away about what was going on, but enough to draw them in. If there was something special, and I call them kind of bat days, where you might be giving something away, like you're going to be blessing throats, or we're going to do this blessing for our students before they go to school, we would put that on there. Or we would do things like in there, wear red for Pentecost, right? Or wear, you know, Mary Magdalene's colors were purple and red, so we said, or white. And so we would say on their that feast day celebration, wear red or purple or white. What you would find is people would wear red or purple or white. In fact, I had one time we did this where we did, it was for 4th of July. 4th of July was going to be on a Sunday, so we said, wear red, white, or blue. And the music minister, who the director, who was very, very usually prim and proper, had this big flag of red, white, and blue on it. And the pastor comes in and says, "What? Why are you wearing that?" He's like, "Your email told me I need to wear red, white, and blue." It's like, "Oh, yes, that's right." So people do listen. I want you to know. It's and I think I heard that the most, the emails that opened up the most are those that come from religious organizations. So, I go with that. And in there, we always say, please invite a friend or a family member to join you at Mass this weekend. You know, and with that, we always say the address of our parish and a link to a map. Now, you might say, well, these are regular people. They know. They've been going. Why are you sending us a map? Well, if they see something that they want to pass on to somebody else, they may not know how to get there. So we try to make it as convenient as possible. One of the days in the Jubilee year calendar that the Pope is going to be celebrating is the Armed Forces, Police, and Security Officials. They're actually going to be celebrating that on February 8th and 9th. My recommendation is pick a day, whether it's that day or 9/11 or the Feast of St. Michael on September 29th. But a way, this is a bridge building event. Have a prayer service for people in the Armed Forces, Police, or Security Officials, or even their families, especially like we live in Tampa by MacDill Air Force Base. When they've been going off to Europe a lot, but their families are still here. So have a prayer service for their families to really support them. And they don't have to be Catholic. That's the good part, you know, when you do the prayer service. But then they find out this is a place that we could we can know about. Now, also around that time is St. Valentine's Day. Now, on the exact days around that time of the Jubilee year, the Pope will be celebrating artists. So one of the ideas is to have an art show. And it might be a Catholic art show, or have your parishioners have art shows and then invite the community. Or have a famous religious art historian come and explain some of the religious imagery of that art. Around the 14th, if your diocese doesn't offer this or has limited celebration, you might consider having like a marriage mass for Catholic couples to renew their vows. We've taken it a step further in the Diocese of St. Petersburg, and we brought in the John Paul II Foundation and have Together in Holiness, which is a marriage enrichment day for our folks, which is that second thing there where they actually go deeper into their marriage, and they could be, you know, a marriage that's 3 months old or, you know, 75 years old. All right. Now, tell me, what are the 5 most attended masses, Catholic masses, during the year? Yes? Mother's Day, Palm Sunday, yeah, so it's Christmas, Ash Wednesday, Palm Sunday, Easter. So a lot of people stop there and say that they're Cape Catholics. The last one is Mother's Day. And I want to talk about all of these. We've talked about Christmas. Now, Ash Wednesday, this year is March 5th. So make sure you send out a postcard because people are willing to come on this day to and make sure your service times are out. Have your outgoing voice message at least a few days before that and telling about the service times, as well as make sure the front desk knows the dates. That's really critical. Because again, if they don't know and they don't provide a professional way, somebody who's searching is going to say, this is not really a professional place. I'm going to go find someplace else. And then you may want to see if the times are conducive to your community. I remember at the parish that I was closest to at one point in time, they didn't start offering Ash Wednesdays until 9 or 10 a.m. Well, if you have to go to work, you know, you can't do it. And then they stopped at 4. I'm like, okay, you know, and it wasn't like we were a senior living place. So it was more out of convenience, or we've always done it this way. So look at it. And this year in our diocese, we're asking our deans to look, our deaneries to look at how everybody is situated, and do we need to adjust that at least so that people can come to some place. Lent is a wonderful time to invite people to participate in the life of the church. And you usually naturally see the mass counts go up. That's one of the reasons why March is the time when we do mass counts. So, send a postcard or an email, social media, inviting people to mass during Lent, or the Stations of the Cross. If you have a youth group or a confirmation class that's doing live Stations of the Cross, be sure to utilize that and invite not only their parents and their grandparents, but their classmates. And, you know, because they're going to be, hey, I'm in this play. Come on down. You know, and teach the kids how to just invite their friends. It's a way to get people to encounter Christ and the church. Also, and I'll talk a little bit more about this in a few minutes, but opportunities to serve those in need. So, I mentioned that we talked about evangelization, but also reconciliation and the sacrament of penance. It's going to be really important this Jubilee year. And so to increase the participation of sacramental life, promote the tenets of going to confession or reconciliation. In our diocese, okay, so the Vatican is going to have on March 28th, starting on March 28th, 24 hours for the Lord. And so what we're doing in our diocese is we are doing 24 hours for the Lord, although some of our priests talked to us and said they want to do 72 because they want to do it the whole week. but we're looking at maybe having to spread that out because especially if you're a one priest parish, it becomes tough to do 24 hours straight and then go right into masses for the weekend. So like for what we're allowing to do is we're going to say, look at it and set times that are good for people. So not just all in the evenings, some in the morning, some in the evening, some at lunchtime. We are going to have a toolkit because one of the things we realized that there are those people who go every week or every other week or every month, and that's great. I heard recently somebody tell me we don't need to promote reconciliation because the line is too long and I talk about it at Mass. Okay, yes. It actually said, well, I look at it as it's not about them. It is about the person, this person who has been away to come back and encounter the Lord. So this toolkit actually looks at the 3 weeks prior to the 28th. And it actually goes through a program of informing people of three things that, I guess people fear. So you have to recognize that most people, a lot of people have not gone to confession since second grade. Their understanding of the sacrament is at a second grade level. So here's an opportunity, and they were probably not in good sorts with their brothers and sisters at that time. And so it's like they're thinking that. So one of the things we're going to be doing is the 3 weeks beforehand, give out formation and asking it in various ways. We're asking our priests to talk about it during Lent, it's a great time, about three different aspects. You know, why go to confession? So what is sin? Why go to confession? And so we try to explain that. And then the second week we talk about how to, because again, second grade, and now you're in your 50s and your 60s or even your 30s, and you may not remember. And then the last week we talk about God's mercy. And we just don't keep it at the homily. We put it on the website. We put it on, and we do it in faith formation classes, in the school, in youth ministry. And we have it all in small groups so that we can talk about it. We also will be offering different types of examinations of conscience during these times. And the reason why is because we want people to find something as they try to understand sin in their life, apply it to their life. So we'll have one for adults. We'll have one for married couples. We'll have one for singles. We'll have one for teenagers and young adults. We'll also have topical ones like those who are into social justice and want to have that. So and every week of during that time, we'll offer that as well as during the times we actually are scheduling reconciliation. We will also have three videos. The first, whether these are the exact same videos, we're still trying to get this up. And I want you to know is that in the WHOVA app, I have a list. And I have an email address if you would like a copy. We're going to get it out by the first week of Advent, if not earlier. But this is for Lent. But we got to give it out in advance. But we're either going to make our own videos or we're going to use these. The first one on Confession Explained, Why Go to a Priest, is by the Diocese of Richmond. And they created it in conjunction with the Missioners of Christ. And it really is really just kind of simple explaining that. And when I've shown it before, like that one particularly, we did it after Mass, and we were surprised how many people stayed. But we told people during the homily, come and stay. And it was like, they stayed. I Confess, that one is from, this particular one is from Life Teen, and it goes through a young man being really nervous about going to confession and going through his whole internal process. But all along you're seeing what has to be done, without revealing the actual, confession. But it's really good. The last one is Oceans of Mercy, and this is from Real Life Catholic, and Chris Stefanik, and it actually shows us what benefit do you get from going to confession? You know, God's mercy. And so it's, those are some of the things that we've done. We will have general intercessions and prayers and letters that can go out by the pastor to invite people. This is one of the sample postcards that we used to. I'm not saying it's going to be in this one, but I've done it in the past at a parish that we used to send out postcards reminding people to come to reconciliation. Also, in our toolkit, we'll have a sample reconciliation service that they could use or not use. They probably can use their own, but some parishes are feeling like this is, if they wanted to do it, they appreciate the help. We also have a how-to guide on the Sacrament of Reconciliation, because we are telling our parishes to promise people that it will be there at the time of their confession, so they don't have to do that. They have to memorize anything. And then we also offer the nine acts of contrition, or the prayers of the penitent, that are allowed and acceptable by the Catholic Church. When I did this, I actually did this. This was part of my dissertation, And we did it in 7 parishes in the United States and the United Kingdom. And what was really, one of the feedbacks that we got was that people chose different, it wasn't the same prayer of act of contrition, it was different ones. And because people were choosing which one they wanted, the reaction we got from the priests was that they got, that it was a heartfelt prayer, a heartfelt act. So I thought, wow, that was really neat. And that was like a hidden gem from the church. I heard that some people wanted to know how to apply this to millennials and Gen Zs. And so I want to share with you as we go into the next step. All right. So millennials are now at the age of having children. So they're also, what matters to them is some of the other thing is social issues and causes. So they're not a person that will go through one charitable company, normally a charitable organization, but they'd rather look at a cause and then see who's doing what and then where they can plug in. But now that they have families, they're also looking for things that they can do as a family. And so that'll be really important if you're going to offer things to bring them back to the church. Do things that will appeal to their young children, or whatever age their children might be. So millennials are more compelled to service, but so offer service projects that actually help them lead to their faith. And the other thing that the Gallup Faith says is that for millennials, the appeal of Pope Francis is really high. So if you can name drop, that might be to your favor. Actually, that's what they said, is that the Protestants have said that they wish they had such a spokesperson like Pope Francis who could really appeal to the millennials. Both millennials and Gen Z people like to give their time, talent, and even their money to causes. And so what you have to do is kind of figure out how to connect your parish with their cause, which means you got to figure out kind of deeper. It's not just, well, you know, I care about people. All right, what type, you know, what is it about people that you care about, and kind of going there. And that's where you might want to go and ask those that are in your parish, or if their parents are in your parish or grandparents are in your parish, you can ask them to, let's have a conversation with your child or your grandchild, and to find out a little bit more about them. When you advertise for them, you would do things like the Starbucks bulletin boards, or at Panera's, or even gaming sites. So those are those type of places where they're at. Now, Gen Z people, they're looking for interactive and participatory opportunities that are hands-on experiences. So they're not great at going to hear a lecture about a cause. They want to go in there and, you know, fill up the bags of food. They want to do that hands-on. If they can do incorporate technology, that's a real plus. They want something that fosters community. So they don't want to do it alone. So whatever you do for that, for Gen Z people, you need to kind of think about how we could do this as a group, and then encourage participation utilizing interactive formats. This then also translates into their worship services, because they're looking for things that they can get involved with. They want to, if they're there, they want to be reading or lecturing. They want to be in the choir if they can sing. And I know that, I just remember there used to be a Everybody Loves Raymond, and the whole usher thing that you have to pay your dues, and you have, there's a pecking order before you can actually serve. Gen Zs don't want to wait. They just want to go ahead and do it. Now, how would you do this if you've already got things established? Now, I know that there are dioceses here that are forming families and they're having multiple places. This is where you might want to consider, you know, having a special mass at one of these things that have technology that's built into it that can get them engaged, get the music that's more of that praise and praise and worship type of style. Also, when you're doing these service projects, have them lead the prayer. So things like that, that they can then show their, be their leadership. That's kind of key. And make charitable acts for them available. So what I want to share with you is how we're going to be doing this during the Jubilee year in our diocese. I talked about that the third thing in the Jubilee year is the acts of the corporal works of mercy. So we are going to have a 2025 Acts of Mercy Challenge. And so we're inviting our parishes to participate, and we're going to have between 9 and 12 months where they can ask their parishioners to do as a parish, as a community, not just as individuals, but as a community, do 2025 corporal works of mercy. Now you might gasp at that, but it's really easy. We're going to have a toolkit for this, but it includes, one is we're going to identify those readings during the year that talk about acts of mercy, and then ask that be unveiled, you know, or unpacked. Like, for example, and actually calling it like the Magnificent Seven, the seven corporal works of mercy. I've heard this when I was at a parish where the priest was talking on this, and he was talking on the corporal works of clothe the naked. And he started out and says, now, we can all go through our closets and pull everything out and give it to the St. Vincent de Paul or to the thrift store, and that's fine and good, and that is clothing the naked. But it's also helping somebody who's elderly put on their socks. I remember hitting that because my mom is 97. She doesn't put on her socks anymore because it's just too hard. And I remember putting it on this summer, and I was saying, this is my corporal work of mercy, you know, and it's so simple. Dealing with a 2 or 3 year old who wants to wear the red t-shirt and not the yellow t-shirt. Having patience is a corporal work of mercy. So that's the type of unpacking. And so we'll be providing our parishes with another toolkit to help the priests, help the other lay ministers, and having with bulletin inserts and things on their websites and bulletin inserts to talk about this. We also are going to have things, ask them, and we've talked with Catholic Charities about this, of having days of mercy or mornings of mercy where you can go to places and perform maybe all seven corporal works of mercy. And it might be like this. You might have it where in one station you're making, you know, peanut butter jelly sandwiches for, you know, the homeless. Well, actually, that's a double two, you know. But you have writing letters to prisoners, getting socks for those who are homeless, things like that. So we're working with Catholic Charities to help our parishes and our deaneries do that. And then we're going to have on our diocesan website, but also giving it to our parishes if they wanted it on theirs, is a submission form where they will be able to tell their parish, and then it's all on an honor system, but then they would say, what corporal works of mercy did they do? And then it would tally it up, and what we're hoping is near the end of our Jubilee year, we're going to have a big Eucharistic encounter event, and we're going to kind of give out some, you know, which parish made it first, which parish got the most, because I'm going to tell you, this can be done in 4 weeks with any size type of parish, other than it's really, really small, but, you know, with intention. So this is something you can invite your millennials to, your Gen Zs, but you could also ask those people who are older. So, you know, people who attend funerals, that's one, you know, burying the dead, you know, type of thing. All right, going on, we have Holy Week and Easter. Make sure, again, this is another one of those capem ones where you need to get that out. Let people know when Holy Week is. might have a service like a tenebrae service where you might, the last seven words of Christ, or the last 7 days of Christ, where you invite other people who may not be Catholic to experience that. Other ways is to invite people, new people to Mass. It might be bring a friend day or a fran, friend, relative, associate, or neighbor. And you might do it on something where there's something going to be happening. Like maybe it's the start of vacation Bible school, so you bring in another friends who have families. Or it might be, you know, something where they're going to be doing blessings, or it might be a homecoming. But my favorite day of things has been always bring your mom to Mass weekend. And what's kind of, people would say, well, mom always is going to be there, so why are we have to bring her to Mass? Well, it's all about bringing the children, bringing the grandchildren, and they're doing this for their mother. And it's another way. And then when they're there, that's an opportunity to really be at your best at that Mass, you know. Have a blessing. So I just moved to another diocese, not St. Petersburg. It's right on the cusp. And unfortunately, Mother's Day, we had no blessing. They did have it for Father's Day. And do you know what the first thing they blessed the fathers for? They said, bless these fathers and forgive them for all their failings. My husband was just like, I can't believe it. So look at the blessing before you say it, okay? Other things is maybe during summertime might be a good time to recap of taking some time for prayer. So one of our pastoral plan for our diocese, we're going to be having some prayer activities where we're going to ask people to learn about different aspects of prayer. So go out and share that with people. Send out a postcard or ads or something like that on social media. And say, come on, and you know, if you have some time, you know, the Lord is waiting for you. Just come in and we'll teach you. Now, we know that this Jubilee year, the Pope is going to canonize Blessed Carlo Acutis. And I love canonizations because it's a great time for a party. So what I've done many times is anytime that there is a saint that we recognize. So when Junipero Serra was, this one. We had a party and we invited kids to come up and do a saint hero and to dress up for that. And why that's really important is because it helps people to understand, or helps kids, it plants the seeds that heroes are not just sports heroes or superheroes in comic books, but rather there are real life people. And so to learn about that, it's a great way. And remember, it's planting the seeds because if you want them to come to Mass, it's not just about today. It's going to be 20 years from now and 40 years from now. So things like this have an impact. Another thing that we do for our mission fields is we have a welcome week, usually sometime in September. And in fact, our diocesan magazine just featured Welcome Back to the Church issue. And we were featuring parishes that had open houses for their missions. And then how do they greet? So this is when the Pope came. And we knew that that was going to be part of the news, that the Pope is coming. So we just said the Pope is coming to St. Mary Magdalene in Altamont Springs, Florida. Almost, you know. His cutout was there. And we live streamed him from D.C., but he was there. But then we did a lot of things during that week that helped people to bring him in. We had like a concert that people can come in and we had open house tours. We had had a dinner for the community and we asked the neighbors and things like that to come. Just so that was a way to bring people to your parish as a bridge building. One of the most difficult things, to do is to go to church after you've lost somebody. So parishes do things. I guess in the Vatican, there is going to be a grief support day in the Vatican. So do something on that day, or do something on November 2nd. That's a good day. A lot of parishes do that. But one of the other things that you might want to do is if you know somebody, so somebody loses somebody, they don't feel like going to church. They might even be very mad at God. So what I recommend is that you have somebody write them a note just monthly. How are you doing? You know, we love you. We care about you. Until they come back to Mass, you know. If you need somebody to talk to, just something that they know that your church is there. We in my neighborhood, in August, we had this bad flood. A tropical storm came, and many people in the neighborhood lost their homes because of the flooding. And my water aerobics instructor was one of them. And I was talking to her just recently, and she said, you know what was really sad? I'm Catholic. And she says, Grace Church there was for me, and the Presbyterians were there for me, and the Episcopalians were there, but the Catholics weren't. And I was like, oh, you know. It just hurt me on that. Now, her water aerobics class was there, and there were Catholics there, but she didn't see that as the Catholic Church helping. So this is one of the ways that just to reach out. And as she said, the first 2 weeks was fine, you know, everybody was helping. It's the aftermath, the 6 months afterwards when you have to figure out that you have to demolish your house and find a new one or something like that. And it may not be paid for by insurance. All right. So again, Feast of All Souls is a good one. Another one, and if I was a bishop in the United States, I would be pushing for a special holy day on Thanksgiving Day. I mean, I think it really relates. It's actually our national, I've heard this say, it's the national holy day in for the United States, for the secular world, because it's the day we're supposed to give thanks. So on this day, make sure people know that there's Mass offered, when it is, and come and be a part of that. So build that up, because a lot of people don't think it's a Thursday. Why would I be going on a Thursday? But that should be packed, you know? So, and call it a holy day of opportunity since it's not of obligation. All right. Now, we're back to Christmas. This is something where you can do. Now, these are pictures of various nativity sets. Last Christmas, it was the 800th anniversary, and so our pastoral center had a contest about nativity sets, and we had the best one, the most traditional, the tiniest one, the most original, you know, just all of the live, we had a live nativity. What's great about that? Well, we just did it to celebrate it, but this is a way that I saw that the Guinness Book of World Records has a place where the most nativity sets are. And I think it's like only like 2,000. And it's held by a Christian church in Miami. So we've been working at thinking about how can we do this? But think about it. Even that. So you have this. You get your neighbors to do that, or your parishioners to set it out. And then you invite people into it. And it's not just to see the sets. It's a way to tell the story of Christ. Another thing that I've done before is we've held Christmas light tours. So what we did is we asked parishioners when they're going to set up their decorations on their place to decorate it, with a religious theme. And then we rented a trolley, and for like $5, we took them to around these places. And there was this one place that was, two blocks long, and they put Luke up on these scrolls all along. And so you had to go around there, and then at the end was a live nativity. What was really interesting was the person who in our parish who was organizing it had skipped the one Jewish person. And that person said, no, you don't. I want one too. And it's, you know, and so he participated. And it was like just another way to evangelize.
All right. Is it time?
It's time. All right. So, 23, 24, and 25 are on Woohooba. But basically, I wanted to share, it's about, and I just attempt to do it here, is it's about the circle of 10, the rule of 3, the first friends ministry, and then we have about forming a membership care team. And then finally, it is, something really good, is distributing door hangers out in your neighborhoods. And so if you're going to have an event, and one of the things is if you choose, instead of doing like 3,000 of them, it's more effective if you do, let's say 500 doors instead of 3, but 6 times. Same amount, but you're now those people are know that you are there. And so you just, so anyway. So the last thing I want to just say is that, and I want to just quote the Bishop's pastoral letter, that we need to do this now. This is a jubilee year. It's our opportunity to do something really important. So Jesus' call is urgent. He does not tell people to follow him at some time in the future, but here and now at this moment and in these circumstances, there can be no delay. Go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Be a pilgrim of hope. Thanks.
So if you have questions, come up and talk to Dr. Losey. She loaded everything up onto the app because, as you can tell, she gets passionate about her ideas, so we didn't make it all the way through the 25, but they're there. We're looking forward to doing these in our diocese. So please come up and talk with Dr. Losey. And don't forget to fill out your evaluations.